We're on page Kufchav Beis and Chasharas Avreichim. The Rebbe is giving us examples of how to use his method, this method of dealing with the Yetzirah, with machshavas and dimyonos that could be very, very damaging and destructive. And this mahalach is best summed up in one word, which is oidos, which is what the Rebbe uses all the time. Not to think something, but to think about something. When you see that you're drifting off to a certain way of thinking, so you extract yourself from that mitzvah and think about it. And he gives examples of, and he's helping us, teaching us how to work on that. We've been talking about the past few weeks. But the aside that we've been focusing on in this right now is how the Rebbe says you have to begin when it comes to small things in life, when it comes to small divrei rishus, we're talking about eating, that a person trains himself and gets into the habit of being somebody who is mezgaber, somebody who is strong, and somebody who has the ability to separate himself from a taiva, from something that he's in. And if you only begin to use this method when it comes to some big taiva of iser, God forbid, some terrible temptation, so you won't really have you haven't developed the koiches hanefesh to be misgabra. Therefore, to become a person who's in the habit of his gabras, of being strong, you have to begin with the smaller things of divrei rishus and divrei heter, things like eating. So he was giving an example of how to do this, and we were on Kufchav Beis. We were just talking about achil, eating. So let's just read the paragraph from the beginning again. V'chein b'hanal, and be'emes writes ata on top. V'chein b'hanal, we already read this a few lines of this. Let's just from the beginning. V'chein b'hanal, be'emes writes ata shalaitia chasas shalom and harishoyim shem shus libam rak mesadikim shalibim rishusam leitei hefkev enechim lechaltai v'chasas shalom. Do you want to be a person who's among the tzaddikim who are described? Tzaddikim are people who are able to, who are in control of their hearts, who are in control of their taivas, and they're not living a life of hefka, that everything that they feel that they want, that they have to give into. But you're a person who is master over yourself, you're in control of yourself. And in order to become such a person, to be able to rule over yourself, you're using this tachbula, this strategy that we've been learning about. By thinking about a feeling, an emotion, a taiva that is inside of you, as opposed to being in it, to analyze and to think about something. If you want to do that, we learned that you have to begin to work on this with small hisrakshis, with small little uprisings of taiva, as opposed to major things, God forbid, of Israel. We were learning this at the end last week, that if they bring to you, if you're being served shnei minei bosa, two types of meat, v'nofla hapatoscho al min echad ki tis'ava l'zam in yoyser, and there's one that you really, really like of the two more than the other, az echol is min hasheni, then you should try not eating the one that you really like more, but to take the one that you enjoy less. Az echol is min hasheni v'chaticha zu sh'ata mis'ava l'al teichal, and the one that you have a taiva for, don't eat that. It's not saying that you should starve yourself, that you should fast. It says just to train yourself to be able to, in smaller ways, to be a person who's mezgaber on a taiva. So eat the one that you like less. B'lo taimar, and you shouldn't say, umabaka chalogam zu shel hater. So you shouldn't say, so what's the big deal? This they're both completely kosher, and as everything is mutter, so why shouldn't I enjoy it? V'gam ein tava shekol kach hazok ad shi'a chayv li lamed negdiv. I'm not talking that I have such a taiva that I can't. It's not like a taiva that I have to resist such a taiva. What do I have to? It's mutter to eat, and it's not such a tremendous taiva. So, but he says rachim alechem al nafshecha. He says just don't think like that. Instead, he says have rachmanis on yourself and rachmanis on your soul. V'hachel es mochamtecha, and begin your war. Begin to fight this war. Be in this milchama. And how do you begin to fight? Davke benitzanei ta'avos ha'aktanim, with the small little blossomings of typhus. You're right, it's not also, it's mutter, this meat is kosher, and you're right, this is not a major taiva, and you tell everybody I can live with that, it's no big deal. These are the kinds of milchamas you have to begin to fight, because you could be it's relatively easy to be victorious in these milchamas. But we're just not used to doing this. We're not used to ever fighting. The only fights that we put up are against these big aveiros and big isurim. Sometimes you win, God forbid, sometimes you lose. But as far as being a person who is living in a constant state of his gabrus and a constant state of nitzchainus, of military victories in the milchamas, one after the other, because as the Ramchal says in the beginning of Mrs. Shem, that every single moment of life is a milchama. And if we don't feel that, that's a very, very big problem. If we don't feel that every moment of life is a milchama, it's just because we indulge. As we were talking about a lot last week, we just indulge. We think anything that's mutter, the trademark of our times is if it's mutter, go for it. If it's mutter, take it, enjoy it. Why not? What's the problem? Adrabba, every single possible taiva that's ours, they're trying to figure out a way to make it mutter. That there shouldn't be anything that's also anymore. That anything that you could have, there was, you know, any single food that wasn't Chav Yisrael, you know, they have to make it now to Chav Yisrael to get it. Every single, you know, taiva and every single thing that's by the goyim, so they're going to try. They're trying to make it that it should be. So we're surrounded more than ever before. We're surrounded by Dvarim Shel Heter, things that are mutter, but things that are not necessarily good for us. They're not good for us, not because they are virus, but because they cause us to lose our conviction as warriors, as balei milchama. And in Mela, when it comes to the bigger milchamas of life, we don't have the kaiches at all. We don't have the kaiches at all. The average. Maybe I shouldn't say they were average. Many of the young women nowadays, they can't contend with having a larger family. That if there's a bracha, there's so many women that aren't able to have nabach children. And then the ones that have children, they can't bear it. They can't bear it. It's unbearable. It's so difficult for them because they're not the etzem. They're not people who are used to having things not their way, and they're not used to any milchamas in life. Everything was always easy. And therefore, when it comes to the bigger taivas, God forbid, of Torm Shel Isser, there's very little kayach hanefesh to withstand such things. So the Rebbe says that you rachem alecha v'al nafshecha, have rachmanis on yourself and on your soul. V'achelas milchamtecha, davka, you have to begin the war. With these things, when you tzani tavos haktan, not to wait, let's say, till you're in a big... There's a big argument you have with somebody, and to you're going to try to control yourself because you feel like screaming like a madman. You feel like going crazy and screaming, because if you're a person that you naturally have a temper, it's going to be very, very hard when you get to that. That's a major battle, and you're not able to do that. But in the course of a regular day, there are so many times when there are things that happen that are not kirtzaincha, they're not the way that you would rather have it. It's not a big deal, but it's not kirtzaincha. You know, it's not the way you're not pleased with the way somebody did something or said something. So in those things, if you begin your milchama with those things, you could be victorious. That's also hard, but at least it's not clear. It's not a clear outbreak of your temper. It's not starting to, you know, you don't feel like screaming or yelling. You just feel like saying something a little bit nasty, or being a little bit annoyed, or making a face. You know. If you feel like making a face, to hold back your face is not so simple. You feel like making a face. You feel like making a face at somebody, and you don't make a face. That's a chashuv thing. So that's also milchama, but it's a small milchama. And if you failed and you made a little bit of a face, so you don't think that you did any kind of a big avera, so one could easily think, so why should I have to not make a face? It's no big deal. I didn't say anything to the guy. The guy would have moved over my, he moved over my sefer. I wanted it here, he moved it there. So for a person, normally you would like go like this. You'd make a clear demonstration that, that your territory was violated, or your property was violated. And you don't think of that as any kind of an avera, but it's a taiva. It's a taiva. It's a taiva to do these kind of things, to make a... Right? It's a taiva to do that. And a person, therefore, in those small taiva luck that a person has, in those small yetzahara luck, if you begin with those things, to fight with those things, and you become stronger, and you build up a certain resistance. So when it comes to a situation where you really feel like screaming, you're able to have some kreches and nefesh to hold back. That's what he says. Rachem alacha v'al nafshcha v'achelus melchamtucha v'nitzoni tavos v'aktan av'al seiz asmach al ish gibor chayel. This way you slowly train yourself to become an ish gibor chayel. You become a gibor. You become a warrior. Hamoshel atzmo, who rules over himself, who's in control of himself. And you're becoming more and more like a tzaddik, because a tzaddik is somebody who is libam b'reshusam. A tzaddik is a person who's the balabayas over his own heart, who's in control of himself, who's in control of his emotions. So by working on these small things, one after the other, because it's all the time in a day, there are many, 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 many things that happen like that in a day, at work and at home. These things that all the time. But by working on these small ones, then you see that you have hatzlacha, that you're able to be such a person that until you really become someone that's in control of your heart. Binyan hazeh shel shnei minei basar, with this example of the two types of meat, and you davke choose the one that even you like it, but you don't like it as much as the other one. With this, he says, muftachani. He says, when it comes to this, you're not going to have to use the strategy, the tachbul that we were talking about before, of aydais, of extracting yourself and standing outside and analyzing yourself from the perspective of somebody who's watching, like watching what you're doing. Because in the situation we're dealing, for instance, with these two types of meat, with things where you're not dealing with an iser, you understand that this is not something where there's evil, that this particular piece of meat or that meat, in other words, that by eating the meat that you like, you realize, of course, you're not giving yourself over to the sitrach, to the other side. But you do know that the yetzahara has a strategy of its own. And the strategy, the mahalach of the Yetzirah is, in general, when it comes to things, the Yetzirah says, it tells you, it starts off with small things. So it tells you, try this today. You know, the Yetzirah says, I don't want you to do anything that's really, really bad or terrible. I just try this. This is okay. This is a little thing. It's not a big deal. So what the Rebbe is saying is that in the situation of the two pieces of meat, you're not going to have to really use an extreme method, the extreme method of overcoming that taiva. It's relatively easy to win that milchama, but you have to be a person that begins to do that. Because you have to realize that the way that the Yetzer operates is that he begins also with smaller things and builds himself up to bigger things. And that's why, as it says in the Pasuk, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught us that Ma'ayvai Techak Meini, that we spoke about many times, Ma'ayvai Techak Meini means that we have to learn from the enemy. You have to watch how the enemy operates. And the way that the enemy operates, in this case, the way that the Yetzirah works, is that he convinces you that there's absolutely nothing wrong with having the preferred piece of meat over the less preferred piece of meat, because sof kol sof, there's nothing else about it, so why not enjoy? And really, the truth is that there is no aveira. It's not an aveira. But the Rebbe is not talking, at this point, we're not talking about aveiras. We're talking about becoming a person who's a gibor chayil, a strong person. So the Yetzer Hara knows that he's not going to be able to get a firm person like you to do a prosta aveira, you know, to do a big aveira. So what does he do? So the focus of the Yetzer Hara is to make you into a person who's weak and flabby, a person who has very little kaychas and nefesh to resist temptation. So the temptations that the Yetzer Hara brings your way, those temptations are for a long time could be just temptations in the world of heter. Temptations, things that are mutter, like making that face, or making a little bit of a comment, or eating the thing that you have a taiva for that's mutter and so on, or a person thinks that Baruch Hashem, I'm not doing any aveiras, so what's the big deal of, I look a little bit at the things I shouldn't look at in the street, or I look a little bit on something, on a magazine, a show or something, I'm not doing any aveiras. There already, we're not talking about it's not an aveira, that's already a more serious type of melchama. But this is the way the Yetzer Hara works. The Yetzer Hara says, no, it's not such a big deal. This you could allow yourself to do this. And by being a person that gives in that way, you don't have the kaychus to ever fight a bigger milchama. So when a big milchama comes your way, like we learned last week, it's like when a big wind comes, then of course it knocks you down. You're not able to deal with a ruach mitzuyah. Forget about a ruach she'ena mitzuyah. You can't deal with a little bit of a breeze. You like something, so you have to have it. You have to have it. That's the simon, of our times, is that you want something, so you have to have it. And you're saying it's not usher, so why shouldn't I have it? Why can't I have it if it's not usher? So Teretz is because you're not becoming a person that's a gibor chayil. If you think about this, and if we really think about what the Rebbe is saying here, this is really, really, really the insight of all that we're living through now, in terms of I'm talking about within the firm community. And then how could it be that we hear such crazy things and terrible things? When it comes to the smaller milchamas, we're not involved in those. We're not fighting those smaller milchamas because there's so many things that we're indulging in that Advarim Shel Heter, like I spoke about last week. There was never a time where there were so many things that are mutter to us. It was always that that Jews lived in such a way where there was only a small choice of what's mutter. A small choice, like I was talking last week about out of town. There's a much smaller range of what's mutter. And even if you want to have kosher food, so that if you're living in some place, out somewhere, so if you want kosher food, you have to have it ordered, and there's only one store, and they have one corner in one store where you could have a few of those kosher items, right? If you live, in Albuquerque somewhere, so you could find, maybe if you order it, then you can get a few of those items. But if you live in New York, so you walk into the kosher, the grand kosher supermarket, that's two blocks long, and every single thing is screaming, mutlach, 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 hariyam kudeshes li b'tabazu, hariyam kudeshes li b'tayvazu, that I belong to you, and all different chocolates, and all different cakes, and all different types of food. I mean, and since it's all mutter, so that's... So the same thing when it comes to music, all of these things, surrounded by all these different musical, everything, music events, and the music is all called Jewish music. Jewish music, Jews, this is Jews, and this is a tape, another tape, another tape, another tape. So Jews never had so many things that was permitted to them. They don't have to feel in the least way bad about. There's nothing to feel bad about. Everything is permitted now. There's so many things that are allowed. So even 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was very little that a person could... There were very few tapes that a person could listen. So what's wrong listening to a tape? There's nothing wrong listening to music, except there's a thin line between listening for some hischaskas, right? Listening to music for some simcha, or listening to music listening to music because a person has, God forbid, a little bit, he's a little bit sad and he listens to music to mechazik himself, or he listens to music for his slavas. When we were growing up, that was pretty much it. There were a few things, and there was a certain tachlis. You had to listen to Jewish music. But now they listen to Jewish music the same way they listen to Goyish music. It's just noise, background, filling time. You have nothing to do, you're in the car, boom. And it's the same thing as the Goyish music. It's not anymore his slavas or his chazkes or his simcha. Sometimes. But otherwise, there's enough Jewish music, or so-called Jew. I mean, you know, I don't believe that 99% of that is Jewish at all. But there's enough so-called, you know, the person on the cover has a yarmulke. So there's enough Jewish music that you could feel like it's any time you want to listen to it, turn it on. And if somebody says, "What do you mean you can't listen to Jewish? Why can't you listen to Jewish? What's wrong with listening to Jewish music? Is something wrong with Jewish?" It's the same thing. There's music. Nigunim, the koyach of negina, the Rabbi Shalom revealed to the world such a koyach of negina, that comes from such a high place. Negina is for the tachlis of his chazkes and his slavas, and for simcha. It wasn't for the tachlis of like just, you know, making noise and having to fill your head with some noise, the way like lahavdil, what you see in the street, or just to have something to keep your mind off of thinking or learning, whatever it might be that you want noise for, which is what's going on in the street. So I'm not even talking about any of these, you know, the musical events. To say that those are, you know, everything is a dov shel hetes itself, not so pashut. But when did you ever have such a thing that a person that wants to listen to me can listen to a thousand different things and can go and to come and everything is with the same thing as the goyim, except every now and then the guy that's singing goes oh yo yo, so then now we know it's Jewish, and if it would be a goy, so then it would be with a, you know, a four letter word. Otherwise it's the same music. It's just this one says oh yo yo and the other one says something bad. What's the chiluk? I mean, it's the same sound, it's the same music. It's just that it puts in a little bit of a crash. But if you ever had the misfortune of seeing how they jump around on a stage, these fellows with the yarmulkes, there's very, very little chiluk, you know, very little chiluk, you know, between what's going on here and there. Unless I don't know what's going on there so much, so I can't say because I don't see. But the two or three times that I saw what was going on with these so-called Jewish entertainers, so what's the chilek? The way they jump around and makes a sweet face and close their eyes and make all kinds of tenuas and mishunas, you know, that everybody knows it's not like he's thinking about the Rebbe Shalom. He's thinking about the girl in the fourth row. So the whole thing is, but it's mutter. It's mutter. Mutterloch. It's all mutter. Everything is mutter. Everything is mutter. When we were growing up, so you had, like, you know, you had Or Chadash. there were a few things. This Dreykus started already later. You had the Dreykus album. There were a couple of things. Rashi and the Rishonim, you ever hear that?
Miami Boys Choir.
That's when things started turning sour. Miami Boys, I'm sorry. I love you. That was a big turn to the other way. Not the kids. The kids are beautiful. I don't mean that. Chasom the children. But that was a big turn. No, this before that. Rashi Nishon was a beautiful. He's in the shul here a few times. His name is Rashi Shapiro. He's a very chashev yid. He's a psychologist. He's a very chashev yid. Ben Tyra. The music that we listened to, there were very few things that we had. But when you listen to Jewish music, when we were growing up and you listened to Jewish music, it's because you wanted a hergish of being Jewish. You wanted to feel Jewish. And you listened to Jewish music. And you felt his iris by listening to the simcha and his chazkus. When you turned on those things, it was because you wanted that feeling, not that you wanted to feel, you'll excuse me, like a goy. Except you're not allowed to listen to, a goyish band. But you really just want beat and sound and noise, and you want to be like everybody else and make all kinds of tunes. That wasn't like that. We didn't have that kind of music growing up. The Jewish music was for the sake of being a better Jew. That's really how we listened to when we listened. Otherwise, you listen to Goyish music, which we all did. But there were no pretenses about it. When you wanted to be like a guy, you turned on Goyish music. When you wanted to be like a Jew, you listened to Jewish music. It wasn't like now that you could want to be like a guy and turn on Jewish music. And someone told me that there's such a thing that there are goyim that listen to Matis Yom and things like that too. So here you have a new thing that the goy can listen to Jewish music also to help him with his goyishkeit. That he can listen to Jewish, so-called Jewish music. I never heard anything from this Matis Yom just for 10 seconds. Somebody put it on the car, but I have nothing against the person. I'm sure it's a lovely person. I don't know him at all. And all of these people. Whenever I say these things, I don't mean against Chasom any of the people at all.
In Poland, klezmer music is popular again among
Goyim.
Among
Goyim. Yeah. So, so even such a thing, without used to saying, no, I'm not going to listen to the music now. I'm not going to listen to the music now. What do you have to listen to it for? You want to feel more Jewish? Damis. You want to have a hisiris? Is that really why you're turning on the music? If not, then why are you turning on the music? So the answer is, I like the sound. That's not why we have Nagun. I know it sounds very radical, but that's not why we have the union of Nagina. Nagina is for his rakshas of Kedusha. That's the Karach of Nagina. And it's true. Let's say sometimes in the house there should be a feeling of simcha in the house. That's a good thing for the children a simcha. Okay, but it's them. Not you know, I'm just saying there's a chiluk between how you listen to a goyish song, which is also to listen to, and how to listen to a Jewish song, which is davishul hetter. It's mutter. So why can't I listen to it anyway, whenever I want, at the volume that I like, and for the reason that I like? And that's what we have, these Chol Moed extravaganzas with people closing their eyes and throwing microphones, wearing you know sequin things and top hats because of you know, what's also about it. Why is it also? This is what we're living through. What happens, the result is that we're not developing kaychus of gvura. Because a Jew used to have to live all the time, every second with the Yerushalayim, of saying no, like I was talking about this past Motzei Shabbos, that the Inyan of Kedusha Shabbos, but Reb Tzadik says that the Inyan of Shabbos, that a person lives every single second Shabbos, you have to be careful, so they're right, it's a Rabban. They're Eisad Rabban every second. That's trying to be removed from our midst. The producers of so-called Jewish indulgence, more kosher food, more kosher music, those producers are trying to make it less of a problem to deal with their Eisad and Rabbanans. But who says that that's good for the... I understand. At one level, it's very, very nice. But who says that that's good for the development of Jewish character? Maybe the best thing for Jewish character is to have a grocery where you have only one tiny corner where there's kosher food, and you have to order it, and you have to make a cheshbon how much you're eating. Because you're not going to have enough. If you eat everything now, you're not going to have enough because they're going to order more kosher food, you know, and it takes 2 weeks to get there. Who's to say what's better? And who's to say? It's no question that as far as developing into a person, that's a stronger person. That, on the other hand, we see this as a sign of religious affluence. More tapes, more kosher products, more kosher hotels. This is a sign of Jewish affluence. It's a sign of, as much as it's a sign of Jewish strength, I guess they call it that, and they have these big, like, I know that they have these expos, like these food expos, you know, they have these kosher... Oh yeah? I don't know. Right, so that's like a sign Jews are very, very proud. They have in Javits. So they have to take out Javits. I was never there, but it's a big place, and they take out, and they have a whole thing of kosher food. So I'm sorry, for Panos, obviously it's a very important thing. People it helps people make money, and that's all good. But that's at the same time that we look at that as a sign of Jewish strength, from the perspective of Avodas Hashem, it's a sign of Jewish weakness. It's not a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. It's another simon of our loss of gvur. It's understandable and it's wonderful because this way you know people have and they have and they have and they have. But when you have and everything is so easy, so you see then the question of what's going to be. Everybody's worried with the children don't know how to say no to anything. The parents don't say no. The children don't know how to say no. They're surrounded by things that are mutter. So they're not in the habit of having to resist anything. They don't have to resist anything. They don't have to feel any mechitzas between themselves and the world. So what's the difference if 15, 20 years, every single type of food and every single type of it, every single kosher song and kosher video. So then when it comes to, when they get a little bit older and all of a sudden there are non-kosher videos and non-kosher tithes. So that's the Rebbe saying them. They never said no, so then it's very, how do they say no to something which is mamish adobishalism? That's why, to go over this 1,000 times to understand the danger of this, and how, and that's why we have to choose for ourselves to make. That's when the Rebbe gives this example of two types of meat, because then you become a person that be'etzim is a loichem, that be'etzim is a fighter, and has the koiches of saying no. And that's how the Yetzer Hara begins. The Yetzer Hara begins with things that are mutter. I say kach. There's nothing wrong with this. It's perfectly okay. Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? It's not asa. It's kosher. Everything's mutter. Avol imcha, the last paragraph on Kufcha Beis. Avol imcha, so sholem kvar higat lidei kach she Yetzer Hara kvar oichiz oiz chabar pecha. But what happens if you're ready in a situation where the Yetzer Hara has already gotten the better of you, and he's oiches oiz chabar pecha, he's grabbed you by your neck. It's even hard for you to stand up against a small Yetzirah, against the Yetzirah for the, you know, that you can't resist between the two meats. You got the pastrami and the roast, and you love the roast. The pastrami is not as much, and even on that you give in and you say, what can I do next time? And you go for the roast, you know, the one that you like more. So in this case, the Yetzirah is already holding us. It's even hard for you to stand up against the things that are mutter. This, in other words, the things that are where you have a bigger tithe and something that's mutter. I'm heviu lefanechem amfakim umat amim hamagar ma'ischa yoiser. So the Yetzer brings to you some things that are amfakim umat amim, you know, delicacies, things that you like. Hamagar ma'ischa yoiser v'srachesh v'tavoscha b'cha, and you have a feeling of a tithe. Regis yoyzeh chazak v'koshel chalif reish mehem, and it's you have a bigger tithe, and it's hard for you to pull away. Okay, lahachlik is chatos chazu beinecha, and what does the Yetzer Hara do in order to calm you down, in order to make this something which is okay in your eyes? Right, atul avatlas adover klach yad v'leim amabekach. So the Yetzer Hara tells you like this. You just go ma'abakach. Im oichal aloy oichal elul. So what if I eat this or I don't eat this? Halokal anoshim oichal mashim. Everybody eats these things. The candies, the cakes, the everybody eats. What's wrong with eating it? The obscenity of how much food has to be put out of the simcha. Even at Lachaim and Avart, you know, mountains of nash, mountains of food and different things that even, you know, that the goyim look at us and they laugh about these things and make jokes about how meshuggah Jews are about all of this. What is it, you know, that kiddush, you know, to be able to have a piece of herring and just some, you know, to have a little piece of sponge cake, it has to be, you know, they have to order the, you know, that whatever it is, that $500 cake. I forgot, you know, there's a cake that everybody has to have by the simchah, and we have by our simchahs, and Mishra you'll have by your simchahs, and you have to go pick it up someplace in Brooklyn, that special cake, and which again, I'm happy because there's a nice Jewish lady that makes a panos or a family. That's always the good part, and that's nice. But then the part is that you have to ask, what is it? Who stayed? Where? Who? What? They said, that's this thing, you have to have this cake. Akadekach, if you're here, maybe you can get away, but if you live in Flatbush or something and you don't have the cake, it's like you might as well call the engagement off. It's not even kedai to get married without that cake. It's not even kedai, because if you can't say that you have that cake, and what's that cake? The cake is a chefse from taiva. A piece of taiva that costs like $100 or more, I don't even know. Something like that. A piece of cake for $100. What does that mean? What does that mean? And you have to have that. And you have to give that to your guests, or else it's not even a simcha. All of these things. So the Yetzer Hara says to you, what? Everybody eats these things. Why can't you eat these things? It's 100% kosher. Why can't you eat these things? That's the problem. Why do you eat? Strictly speaking, you can eat it. But if you're in the parish of becoming an Oved Hashem, if you're trying to become a Gibor Chayil, if you're trying to be a person that knows how to be in control of your of you. To be a tzaddik is moishel alibay, who rules over his heart. The libam is bereshusam. Mara de nefesh is how you call such a person. A balabayis over yourself. So then you don't think of that. You get rid of that svar. What's the difference? Why you eat this? Why you don't eat that? That's why there are a million dieting books. We spoke about this many times. They have a million books and all kinds of people, nutritionists, and all kinds of svaros about how to lose weight instead of a person just eating less. That's a relatively simple svar. Just don't eat so much. Or you like that thing is very fattening. Don't eat it. If anybody comes out with such a diet, they'll think he's out of his mind. Or a guy comes up, he says, "I have a new diet." The things that are fattening. Don't eat them. That's it. That's not a big book. You don't have to make CDs, and you don't have to have weekends. Weekends in the mountains. It's fattening. Don't eat it. No, the Torah says they have to have something that, so they have like this thing that they make meals that they bring to your door. You heard about this? That you don't have any food in the house. You don't have any food in the house. You don't have any food, and you pay money to a company, and the company delivers to you three meals at your door, something like that.
The coach company does it too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So they deliver to the door, and that's all that you could have are those three meals. And I don't know how much they cost. Mustama costs more, I guess. They're making a living, these people, so it must cost more than a regular thing. But ad kedekach, the people that have no carcass of nefesh, that you have to like empty out your whole house. You can't have. It's like you have this picture. Like if for some reason, then when it comes Purim, and these poor people, these nice people that have shalach manis, everybody brought them Purim. It's like you come Shushan Purim, you find them like on the floor in the kitchen, a piece of that cake like in their mouth, and the ambulance comes to take them away. Because what happens is because they didn't have the program for that day because it was Purim. What are you gonna do? Purim, everybody brings food. The ambulance is there, the Hatzolah, and all everybody's What happened? Well, because on Purim they didn't have the program on Purim. So Akadekaf, like such a weakness, it's such a crazy thing that they don't have any karchas and nefesh. And we expect our children to be able to say no to the videos, say no to this, say no. And you want the children, they should grow up to be strong people, and they see that their parents, every dovish l'heta, their parents are indulging in. Every single thing they're indulging in. And see that my parents are such giborim that they enrolled in this program and they have three meals delivered to them. That my parents are giborim, it's not a givura. That's the biggest rachmanis I ever saw in my life, that you can't have food in the house without eating it. What kind of a thing is that? How come you can't have food in the house without eating it? So akidekach, at least they're better, they're trying, they're working on it because it's not healthy, they have to lose weight. But such a thing that they have to have like a delivery to come with a truck and to bring them a meal, like a schnorrer. That you have to have, because why? Because you can't have the food in the house. Because if there's a food, I don't know what they do with their children. These people, I guess, I don't know. Maybe they have the juniors like deliveries. I don't know, but I don't know how they work it with the kids. Because there's something in the kids. So they take from the kids' plate. the poor kid, he's got to eat out. The kid. The kid looks for stuff on the street because the second he wants to eat something, his mother's come over here. The mother grabs because that's good stuff, right?
And this is all the parents on the lines with the kids.
Because the kids get the best food by the missus. Because they give the fancy food, they give the seaweed to the parents, and the kids have French fries and hot dogs, and you see like all the adults going like, the adults are looking over to the kids and they have chmanis. So. But this is the time that we're living in, and we can joke and we can make all kinds of things. It's a galachta, but it gets very, very serious as the kids start getting older and they feel, why shouldn't I have this girl, and why shouldn't I have this other type? Why shouldn't I be allowed to think of this? They don't know how to stop thinking. You don't know how to control your mind because you're not a person that's in control. So what's this garbage of machshavas? How do you control your machshavas? You never stopped yourself from doing anything. So as a little child, everything was mutter. So when it comes to, then all of a sudden they tell you, you can't think about this. This is something you know, because children don't have bad thoughts. But as they get older, they have bad thoughts. So they don't know how to say no to any thought because their whole lives, everything is mutter. Everything is yes. So all of a sudden, when things start to become serious, and the machshavas could be very, very dangerous machshavas, they can cause all kinds of avarice, but this teenager doesn't have the kalim, doesn't have the strength to say no. And this is what's happening. So a person says, what's the difference if I eat this or I don't eat this? Everybody eats these things. The Rebbe says, "Asei kahanal." Now you're going to have to use the method. You're going to have to use now. If it's already, he says, now you could apply the method that he's been teaching us, the method of oidos about, because now already the Yetzer has grabbed you, and you're in this taiva. He says, "Asei kahanal v'achel." Now this is the best way to begin to practice using the method the Rebbe's teaching, because we're not talking about an iser, we're not talking about something that's asur to you. Right, we're talking about a taiva for something that's mutter. So you want to use, you could begin to use the Rebbe's method. He says, when it comes, start practicing when it comes to something that's mutter. When you feel like you have such a taiva to have this this food, that to have this thing, so you begin to use the Rebbe's method. And he says like this: Now remember, you begin to analyze. You pull yourself out, and you become an outside spectator. You begin to think about what you're going to do, about this food, about your taiva. And you say like this. Ask yourself in your heart. But you begin to talk about this taiva. You're beginning to have a taiva. The taiva is, you're in the taiva. So the Rebbe says, pull out of the taiva. He says, try this. Pull out of the taiva and start to talk about it in your head. Talk about the taiva and say like this. Is it true that I have such a big taiva to eat this? A big taiva to eat this. Any rights allowed on him? Tzvichim lechol zayis ashalay lechol. I don't want to get myself into the parasha, a whole diyun, a whole shakla v'tarya. Do I have to have this or not? Ve'ev she'ein aveir ba'ata. It could be staka. There is no aveir for me to have this. One thing is clear, I'm about taiva. It's after eating a whole thing, after being full, and there's more dessert and different things. So a person stops and asks himself, one thing is sure, am I hungry that I need to eat this in order to live? I don't have to have this to live. Is it clear to me that the only reason that I would have this dessert is because I'm about taiva? 100% it's clear. The only reason I would eat this is because of a taiva, not because I'm hungry. I'm not hungry. I wasn't hungry a long time ago. So the only reason I would have this dessert is because of a taiva. And that's clear that I'm about taiva. See, that's clear that my whole existence is in the hands of the taiva, of a desire. That even though I'm stuffed, even though I'm full, it's hard for me to resist this taiva that's being brought out now for dessert. I know I'm not going to die if I don't eat this. Could be you'll die if you eat it, but I'm not going to die if I don't eat it. But I feel so attached to it. In other words, I feel like it's pulling me. The person starts to talk about it, to think about it in his head. In such a way, again, not to just look at it and to go along with how you feel with the taiva, but to begin to ask yourself these questions, to fill out a form about this dessert. This is an example of how to become a gibur. To start to ask questions about this taiva. V'habei b'machshavtecha al atzmecha v'al tavoscha, and in your mind, look at yourself about taiva. Look at you about taiva. And you could even look at it and say, look how you've gained weight. Look how hard it is for you to you walk up some stairs, you're heaving and breathing, you can barely make it up the steps. And how you feel, and you remember that when you were in good shape, how you felt stronger and you felt lighter. Look at even these things to look. Look at yourself. Look at the taiva that you have. Having metapol oidosa, he says, take care of it. In other words, be metapol oidos about this taiva. V'haysev loy mehen yadati she'en yi tzadik. I know I'm not a tzadik. Avalias kol kach menuvel ubal taiva. But I'm not a tzaddik. All right, I'm not a tzaddik. Because the Yetzirah tells you, oh, you're a big tzaddik. You can't have something that's mutter. Why can't you have it? So I'm not a tzaddik. But I also don't want to be such a baltaiva, a manuvel. I don't want to be such a manuvel. You know, I don't want to be such a baltaiva. A manuvel, a baltaiva. Shofel, a lowly baltaiva. Ad shalim mata'amim elu ayyabatum avutu, that I should be mavatal myself to these... to these mata'amim, to these delicate, these sweets of this dessert, I should be mevatel myself, that I have to listen because some $100 cake says to me, come over here. So I have to listen to that. I don't have control to say no. I can't say I'm already not hungry and I'm not a baltaiva and I don't need you and I don't need to eat you and I don't have to eat you and I'm full, and if I eat you it's going to make me feel sick and I'm not going to feel good about myself. I have to be mevata myself to every taiva because this cake says, come over here. Ad kedei kach, I'm such a bal taiva, I'm such a shval ruach, a person that I, not shval ruach, a shofel badsum, that I can't even say no to, I'm bottled to a taiva. Ad shal mata'ama ilo ayya bottle mavutu, I should be bottled mavutu to a taiva? Lech hashavti habet aleis. So the Rebbe says, look at yourself, look at this. And not just once. Chazal these things over. Say to yourself once, twice, three, 10 times. To go over these questions about the tithe and about yourself. And you will be amazed. You will be amazed how the tithe gets weak and it will melt altogether. You'll see. You'll be amazed how that happens. Try this, he says, binyani achila, when it comes to eating. You do with any taiva. To say things, even something you're allowed to say. You don't have to say everything you're allowed to say either. When it comes, you have a taiva to say things you don't have to say. To make a certain crack, to make certain comments, you don't have to say. You don't have to say. What does this say? You have to, it's better not to say. But to hold yourself back. Just from saying whatever you feel like saying, a person, because you're not saying a curse. It might not be adnad lashon hara. It's not a chilus. It's not a sheker. But why do you have to say everything you feel like saying? Even if it's not a dovish lisa, control to be a person that learns how to control what you're saying, not to say everything you feel like saying. This oila ruchacha, and to be able to think about yourself also, and to use this method to think about shein aveira. Could be that what you're going to say is not an aveira to say. I will tell you, you should like to die, say. That's also not a mitzvah to say. What's a mitzvah to say? This is what marriage gets done. So it's not nevera. It's not nevera. So the Yetzirah says, so why can't you say it to make people laugh? They'll think this, they'll think that. So it is. And mekoma kom mizgara atal adabra say. You still have a Yetzirah to say something. You know that you have a Yetzirah to say something. Habet alecha v'agiriyach v'ayfen kazeh. So look at this, using this method that the Rebbe is teaching of not allowing yourself to just be in the Inyan, but to step outside and talk about the Inyan. Somebody asked me the other day, where did the Rebbe get this from? So I was thinking about it. When I was being Mavis Sedra. You know, this mahalach that the Rebbe came up with, this idais, it's not really in the Svarim. It's not a clear mahalach, such a thing. It's really known as the Piazetzna's method of dealing with the Yetzirah. In the Chassidish Yeshivas, this is very well known from the Rebbe. It's a mahalach that the Rebbe taught. And he said, when he was alive, he said this a lot to the Bochum. And in the Chassidish Yeshivas, it's very well known. It's in other places as well. So, but it was such an interesting thing when I was, last week, when I was being ma'avir the parasha, Parshas Vayera, I saw an Arachaim HaKadosh, that's mamish, that you see, it's clear from Arachaim HaKadosh, the Rebbe's Mahalach. So he says, what does it say? I was so happy when I saw this. It says in the Pasuk, V'toymel Avram, so sorry, man, it says to Avram, Garesh Ha'ama Hazois Vezbana, sorry, man, it says, throw out Hagar and Yishmael, right? Get them out of here. Kilo yirash ben ha'ama hazayis im bni im yitzchak. Because the ben ha'ama, the son of the maidservant, is not going to get the Yerusha im bni im yitzchak. So look how interesting it is. Sarimain refuses to say the words Hagar and Yishmael. She will not call them by name. She doesn't call them by name. She says Ha'ama ve'ezbena, Nachamal, Ha'ama ve'ezbena, her and her son. Then it says Vayera Hadavram Oid Ben Avram. This is something which was upsetting to Avram Avinu. Listen, Al Odos Bena, on the matter regarding his son. Aloi dos beno Yishmael. Look at the Aruch HaMakom says. On the words Aloi dos beno. Oid yitzah, listen to this, gewaldig. Oid yitzah aloi dos beno. What is Avram Avinu upset about? Aloi dos beno. So what the Aruch HaMakom explains is that Avram Avinu is upset that she's not calling my son by his name, Yishmael, but she's talking about my son. She's detached from him. She's pulling him out of my life and speaking about him. Listen. Oid yitzala, oidoiz beno asher yachasa oso sara lahagar. Sara wanted to make it like what? Like it's not Avram Avinu, it's not our mishpacha. It's not my husband's son from another woman. It's not your son. It's as a garesh, as a oma vez beno. It's somebody from outside of our lives. It's not your son. She could have said garesh as Hagar or as Ha'ama ves Yishmael or ves Bincha. Right? She could have said that. She doesn't say that. She says garesh as Ha'ama ves Bina. So it says. So the Aruch HaMakom says Oid Yitzel Oid is Bina Asher Yachas also Sol Hagar. So what does Sarimenu do? Sarimenu makes the Yichas like it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with my husband. It's for her, the maidservant. Ka'omer ha'ama ve'ezbena ben ha'ama ve'ezbena ben ha'ama uba kadosh baruch hu. So Avram Avinu says vayera hadavim ha'ayin ben Avram. He didn't like that. What, throw out this person like it's some stranger? Ha'ama ve'ezbena, it's my son. I had a child with this woman. Uba kadosh baruch ve'histik divrei sar. But the Baruch Shalom comes. Vayomer Elokim el Avram al Yera benecha al hanar v'al hamasach. The Baruch Shalom also doesn't say al Yishmael v'al ishtecha al hamasach al Yishmael v'al hamasach. He says kol eshetayim alecha sar shema b'kol ki b'yitzchak yikar lechazar. Ubakadosh Baruch Hu v'histik divrei sar v'amar kol asher shema b'kol v'al tachshav oisai bincha. Don't look at him as your son. At Yishmael as your son. V'oimar al hanar. The Baruch Shalom uses the same method. This method al hanar, not to be in it. My child, my son. Al hanar, the child. Okaloi shame beno. The Baruch Shalom goes a step further. Sarah says, she uses the word son, child. The Baruch Shalom just says, Al-Hanar, the kid. Al-Hanar. And he says, why? V'amala ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazar. Ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazar. U'ben zeh al-shem ima yikar. That kid, Yishmael, that's not our cheshmen. That's with his mother, the Amma. V'omer v'gamis ben ha'ama v'timtzah shechaza Avram v'haid l'divayim. And how do we know that Avram Avinu, so sorry, may have told him this method of the Rebbe, oidois beno, and the Baruch Shalom chazes it over and says al yer benecha al hanar. The Baruch Shalom chazes over this mahalach, and then so Avram Avinu gave into that. V'timtzah shechaza Avram v'haid l'divayim d'chsi v'yashkem Avram boiker, right? And he says v'yikach zeyot v'loimer es beno. It says, when it says by Yishmael, it says he took Yitzchak and he took Es Hayelad, the child. Doesn't say his son. Ki heida kosev la'avram, darachan kadishis. You hear what he's saying? That's the mahalach. The Chaim is saying is that when you're attached to something and you love something, you speak to it and by name, and with your words and with your thoughts, you make a stronger iskashus. But you want to distance yourself, not to feel something, not to feel it. Because that's what Sarimani wants to do. That Avraham Avinu shouldn't feel a kesher to this child, because this is not Yitzchak. So what does she do? She extracts Yishmael from the life of Avram, and this is what the Chacham HaKadosh says. And she says what? And she says, as ha'am of Ezbana, like they're strangers, like they're outsiders, and looking at this as somebody who's just like Soyemeni, who's just watching this from the grandstands and saying, oh, you have a maidservant and her son. And the Baruch Shalom says that also. And the Baruch Shalom says the same thing. Avraham Avinu didn't like that.
That's the
Akedah
too.
Avraham
Avinu
is the two kids. When there's a hava and there's iskashrus, then you're in the sugya. When you're trying to be separated, then it's not in the inyan. It's odos. That's what it says. Vayeradav amoy ben Avram al odos benay. And it just caught my eye when I was being mavin sedra. The words odos, which the Rebbe uses, the Rebbe's using that word every time. That you have to think odos, to think about the inyan. And here says al odos benay, and the Aruch HaKadosh says. So you understand when you with your own family and with your own wife how dangerous it is to have, God forbid, a relationship al aydais is, you know, ha isha ve'ezbena. You understand that when it comes to the people that the Baruch Hashem wants you to love and have discussions with, it means talking to and thinking about. Meaning in being in that inyan of ahav and iskash. It's not, you know, that's why I never, like, sometimes you have it, not sometimes, this happens all the time. I'll have a husband and wife that are coming to talk, husband and wife, and they're sitting right next to each other, and he's telling me a problem, that, and he says, yeah, well, she's always criticizing me, and she's sitting right there. So I said, why don't you call her by her name? With, you know, she's always criticizing me, and he's doing this and she's doing that. That even in the way of dibur, there's a detachment. When you call somebody by a name, it's already hiskashus. It's already with a certain degree of hiskashus, of chshivus. When you're sitting right next to somebody and you say, she's making my life miserable. So then it's al oidois haisha and garesh es ha'ama, and then my son es bina, not my son, she and her son garesh es ha'ama es bina. Ki bi Yitzchak, that's the other one, the one that I like. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazam. You realize that it's psychologically such a powerful thing when a person separates himself in his way of thinking, and then it comes out in diburim, in words, where there's a detachment, where there's a way of being outside and not inside. So what the Rebbe is saying is that when it comes to the Yitzhahara, the same thing, that when you talk like in this situation with this taiva for eating, and instead of it, the way that we normally operate is that we identify with that taiva, and it's I don't even see it as something separate. It's just part of what I want, and I just am drawn to it. But the second that you start to speak al oidais a taiva, and you could say garesh es habasar ve'ez benoi, you know, garesh es a taiva ve'ez benoi. Garish is a taiva. It's a taiva. What is it? It's a taiva. Call it what it is. It's a taiva. Get rid of it. Go away from it. But we don't normally do like you don't think of it. This is a taiva, and I'm a manuvel, and I'm a mushkus, and I give it to every taiva about that. And think about. But you just go with it, and you just smell it, and you look at it, and you say, well, can you give me two of them, please? Al oidais hataiva. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Aloy dies beno, and the Baruch Shalom tells Avraham Avinu, "Kala shetama chazar shma b'kayim, ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazar. Yitzchak, you have to call by name." Torah, mitzvahs, kedusha, things that are good, things that are right, that you have to speak about in a very intimate, personal way. Things that are not for you, you talk about in a distant, detached way. And that's how we begin to become people that, at least we begin to be people that are in the milchama, and we have some kaychas to be able to fight in the milchama. Okay, let's stop.